The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
It's time as we chime in for the lunchtime doctor. We are waiting Dr. Vasant Basdeo, who is filling in, of course, for Dr. Brittany Dean and, of course, Dr. Taylor. Here's hoping everyone is doing fine, and I liked what the Minister of Health had to say. You know, we have this the dengue fever going around, that they're going to be going after folks who are not taking care of their properties, right? People are not taking care of their properties. Of course, you know, all over you see some of these properties that are just left, you know, and down, and grass is growing all over, you know, thing of mosquitoes breeding. And please, you yourselves, I've always been advising people to go around your house. Mosquitoes can breed anywhere. It could be a little cup, a little plant source, any little water you have in your drain, go around your homes, and let's all do what we can do to, you know, rid ourselves of the Aedes aegypti mosquito and spreading that dengue fever, right? We all have to play our part, because it's very, very dangerous, especially if it hits your children. Children are home from school, so we don't want the children to spend their July, August vacation getting dengue fever, all right? So, I await Dr. Vasant Basdeo. We take a break.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Always a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
All right, folks, lunchtime doctor, where we answer all of your medical questions. And even though there may be a specific topic today, which we'll find out very soon, you can feel free to call us at 625-2257, message us at 306-1065. Of course, this show is being heard live on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, and Sky 99.5. You can message them also, and we'll get your questions right here in studio. So what are we discussing today, Doc?
So we want to talk about a very relevant topic in today's, climate, literally wet climate, and that is on the topic of dengue fever, mm-hmm. You know. So the word dengue fever can strike a lot of fear and a lot of pandemonium, as we call it locally here. But, you know, just to give some information first, as we always begin with, dengue fever, which is that sort of break bone fever, as it's described, is a viral infection that is spread, unlike let's say COVID-19, that is spread by respiratory droplets and coughing. This virus is spread by a vector known as the Aedes aegypti mosquito, and it is more common in the tropical and subtropical areas where it's very wet and very humid conditions, which is very ideal for these Aedes aegypti mosquitoes to breed. So generally, most people who have dengue, some people may not even have symptoms, but most people do well. And for those who do, the most common symptoms are high fever, headaches, body aches, nausea, feeling upset, and generally a rash. And most majority of people will get better in 1 to 2 weeks. However, the thing about dengue virus is dengue virus can be a deadly virus. Dengue can be fatal for some people. And this is where those people who develop severe dengue definitely need to seek urgent care, visit a hospital, get some health care, especially if you have those signs and symptoms of severe dengue, you know. So I'd love to hear what the public is thinking. This is a hot topic these days. As we discuss this very relevant viral infection here in Trinidad and Tobago. But this is not something that is unique to Trinidad and Tobago. Right now, the entire world is facing dengue virus, particularly in areas that now are seeing their rainy or wet season. But like, for instance, the Latin American region, the Caribbean region, so it's not something that is unique to Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Doc, well, let's go back. But probably this is taking me going back to school about the mosquito itself, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, and yes, the type of water that yes, it breeds in. And, you know, some people may like, I started off the program saying that a lot of people needed to check around their house, their plants. I like what the Minister of Health is doing, where they're going to be going after people who just have lands and stuff just untaken care of, because all that is where the mosquitoes themselves could breed. So what should people look for around their homes so that they will not be in danger?
No, well, certainly. Well, to begin with, the mosquito itself, this Aedes aegypti mosquito, is a bit unique in that it really bites humans during the day. So early morning and that late evening, that sort of dusk and dawn period is when these mosquitoes really attack the persons and bite from with the infective virus in them. So, you know, it's very important for us as human beings to play our role in preventing and controlling the spread of this virus, which can be deadly, you know. So, as I say, these mosquitoes are spread and active during the day. To begin with, just to prevent your own self from getting the virus, you could wear clothes that cover your body as much as possible, particularly during this time, you know, especially if you're taking a daytime nap. As a time, definitely, you might want to sleep with nets and even use things like insect repellents. You know, these are mosquito repellents and things like coils and vaporizers are things that we've traditionally used that work, you know. And of course, in terms of all the environment, you want to prevent the mosquitoes from having access to lay the eggs in the first place, you know. So disposing of your waste properly, removing any sort of devices that can collect water. So a simple thing like checking your guttering, you know, you're sticking mango and you dent your guttering and then it have a little kink in your guttering and water collecting there. And that's a prime breeding space for mosquitoes. So you thinking where you're looking all over around your house, you're doing everything prim and proper, clean, no breeding grounds, but check your gutterings. Plant pots for all the plant lovers out there. Look, cleaning your plant pots very regularly and covering and emptying any, you know, domestic water storage tanks and stuff like that. There's a lot of people who still collect water and particularly rainwater for domestic use and their washing and stuff like that. Make sure and check that this is covered as well. So this is what we as a society and as a public can do, particularly those living in rural and in Trinidad and Tobago, where there's a lot of collection of water taking place, you know. So check your drains, check your, just your surroundings, your immediate surroundings. And like the ministry would have been on its campaign, this is actually now that a fine that you can face that if you are found to not be within the public health regulations. In terms of keeping your environment sanitized and clean as well, yeah?
Yeah, man, I'm happy about that. Now, before the fever actually hit, I mean, you do actually get a fever, but I know you probably spoke about this before, but what are some things that you may get before the fever? Because some people might think they just have a, you know, a regular ill feeling or they're coming down with the flu, but how do you actually know that you're coming down with that dengue fever?
All right, right. So this, we could talk about the phases of dengue. Typically, there are three phases of dengue, you know. So this fever, though, comes on like real rapidly. In all the cases that we are dealing with here, patients would tell you, doc, I went to work as normal, you know, and within a half an hour, I just started to feel a little tired. And then when that fever hits, that's why they call it a bone-breaking fever. This fever is typically, you know, a high-grade fever. We see it as high as 40 degrees and more. But typically more than 38.5 degrees, you know. So that phase usually lasts for about 3 to 7 days that you have a fever. And that fever is associated with, you know, your headaches, marks, severe bone pains, muscle pains. You have feeling very tired. You feel very weak. You can get nauseousness feeling. And you can even have that rash, a sort of macular rash may develop that comes out on the skin as well too. And, you know, these are the signs for that 7 days. However, what people, a lot of people I realize aren't aware of is that when the fever actually leaves, that is actually still, you're still in the phases of dengue. And a lot of persons may mistake that, look, the fever has gone, dengue has gone. You still need to continue to monitor yourself after the fever has stopped, after those first 3 to 7 days, for those severe warning symptoms, you know, those shock symptoms, because this is a critical phase where your blood can be affected and your liver function can be affected. And you can have, if you start developing things like persistent vomiting, any bleeding from the gums, from your urine, your stool, per vaginum, and of females, you know, feeling like you just can't get out of bed, rapid breathing. These are severe warning signs, and this is signs that you need to get to a medical center or get urgent healthcare as soon as possible. And this phase, you know, usually lasts about a day to 2 days for most persons, and that is what we call the bocus of dengue, that little critical period. Now, most persons would not experience this though. So it's important for persons to understand what are the severe symptoms versus what are the mild symptoms. So just to go over that again, you might get bite by a mosquito, right? If unfortunately, that has the virus. And they usually begin 4 to 10 days after the bite of this infective mosquito. These
Doc, we seem to be having a little internet issue there. Yeah, internet issue. We take a short break and we come back. Of course, we're talking dengue fever and any of your medical questions that you may have.
Yeah, definitely any bleeding, fatigue, blood in your vomit or stool, very weak, feeling cool and pale. Definitely those are things that need to get care right away and be assessed properly as well.
All right.
So for persons with the mild symptoms,
No, I was asking what is the difference with between dengue fever and yellow fever?
Right. So both are viruses. Dengue virus is something that has 4 strains of a virus from a family of viruses called flavivirus. And these viruses tend to be more severe the second time around. And you would find that, you know, there's a period, there's a cycle of dengue. So you'll find 4 years or 5 years might pass, and then you suddenly realize people getting more sick with dengue. And that is because of the fact that the second time someone gets infected is usually a very much more severe infection. So, you know, it's important that we understand this, and even for people who are traveling, you know, we want to be able to understand that, look, if you're going to areas that are endemic, so you've got people who are coming from, let's say, North America, UK, to Trinidad, to the Caribbean, to Latin America, it's important to know that, look, there are 4 strains of the dengue virus, and it's that second time around that it can be very, very problematic, right? So The other thing that you mentioned here was the yellow fever, right? So yellow fever is something that, again, is another infectious disease that we see. And we want persons, you know, even if you're having symptoms in the dengue, with dengue being around, to not just think of everything as only dengue. So both for healthcare professionals and patients that, look, don't just assume that anything under the sun is dengue alone. You know, we had persons come in and they're thinking fever, and this time it could be something another infection, right? So this is what I just want to advise the public that, look, don't just assume that anything that you have as well too is only dengue as well, right?
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Right, folks, back at your base here along with Dr. Vasan Basdio. Yes, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, where we deal with your health and medical issues. Today, we're discussing dengue fever, but even if you have any other medical issues to discuss, feel free to give us a call, 625-2257 or WhatsApp 306-1065. Some questions coming in there, Doc, about dengue. What about children with dengue fever? Do they suffer more severely?
So that's a very good question, because, you know, generally children, young adults, the majority of them do very well. They have mild symptoms, and they go on to do well. However, you find that in that critical period that I was talking about, where that dengue, severe dengue can happen, we actually find that it does affect the children and young adults more. So dengue affects everyone, but children and young adults are particularly more vulnerable to severe disease. That doesn't mean that all of them are going to get severe disease, but you find that as compared to older adults, young adults and children do develop more severe disease as compared to our older population.
All right, and as you say, the older population, what about the elderly? The elderly, because the elderly, correct, there may be well homes, and then, you know, elderly could be affected, yes, as well by dengue. What about the elderly?
So certainly. So one of the main things that we do recommend everybody with who have mild signs and symptoms of dengue is to stay hydrated, drink as much fluids as you can. Your appetite is going to be significantly decreased. But, you know, getting that fluid intake is very, very important. As well as rest, you know, just taking that time to just not try to push yourselves, put things in place so that you can just properly rest as well. And a very important thing to note is that, look, acetaminophen or paracetamol is the recommended treatment for the symptoms of the fever and the pain. The reason why we say this emphatically is that, look, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, things such as ibuprofen and diclofenac and all these other NSAIDs, can increase the risk of bleeding, things like aspirin as well too. So definitely persons with signs and symptoms of dengue should avoid together these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like aspirin, ibuprofen, as well as avoiding any intramuscular injections, particularly if you are having, you know, signs and symptoms of dengue, because injections in this time and you're not knowing your blood's ability to clot or to be able to form these bleeding events is a very highly risky thing that you can be putting yourself in, especially if you have dengue. Right. So, but you asked the question about the elderly, and I just want to touch on that quickly.
Yeah.
That persons who have comorbidities, like our elderly, persons living with diabetes, other comorbidities, they can be more severely affected by dengue because their hydration status is much more easily affected, as well as their ability to respond to this virus by mounting an immune response and stuff like that properly. So you find that these populations that do have comorbidities, we pay particular attention to them. And again, if anybody is very elderly or having comorbidities and showing these warning signs, I again urge these persons to do seek urgent health care.
All right, somebody's asking here, can dengue virus be transmitted from person to person? Or is it only from mosquito to person?
Now, there are the majority of transmission is from the mosquito, right? There are some instances, rare instances, where people have transmitted, gotten the virus from things like blood transfusions, a mother to child. There have been some evidence to suggest that it is transmitted between a mother and child. It is known that it can happen, but they still yet to determine how much that is really like very aggressive as compared to like chikungunya, Zika, and stuff like that. Like I said, blood transfusion is another way persons can get it. Organ transplantation is a very rare cause of it. That's something we wouldn't really see here in Trinidad as well. So generally, that's how we find that dengue virus can be transmitted person to person through these mechanisms. Persons working in the healthcare industry as well too can transmit the virus via needle stick in injuries as well too. So just to be very careful for all our healthcare providers there in this time where a lot of IV and IV fluids are being administered and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, someone here is asking about your pet, your pet dog or your cat. Can pets get a dengue fever as well? I mean, if a mosquito bites a pet?
That's a very interesting question. I from my understanding, I'll probably have to ask my veterinary colleagues, but I think dengue virus is but generally a human, affects humans. It's spread by the mosquito. Mosquitoes can bite pets, but I do not ever recall in my history of being a physician or talking to my veterinary colleagues that they had their pets or been seeing animals with dengue virus. So that's something let me see if I can check that right over the break and get back to that question.
All right, definitely, folks. Dengue fever, please be aware and please be careful out there with it. 12:30 on time. You know, we're talking here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5 with Dr. Vasan Basdiodo, 625-2257 and 306-1065. Is dengue the one, or is it yellow fever the one? Which one affects the blood platelets?
Yeah, so the thing is, dengue virus and yellow fever are both viruses from the same family of viruses, right? But dengue, typically, we monitor your blood count very closely, particularly for what we call thrombocytopenia, which is that drop in your platelet. Platelet is a function in your hematological system that helps your body to form clots and to prevent, you know, sort of just bleeding. If you were to get a cut, in layman's term, just bleeding out, right? It helps form that clot and that what we call fibrinogen and fibrinolytic pathway to help stop bleeding. So in dengue, that is actually a way in which the what we call the pathogenesis of this virus, how it attacks the body. It affects the liver, it affects your platelet and your liver function. So some people get pain in the right area of their belly there, where the liver is, they get swelling of the liver. It can affect their liver enzymes, which then can affect their bleeding and their clotting times. And the platelet also drops in dengue. And that's something that we physicians in hospital use to monitor the severity of the disease, together with monitoring for things like shock symptoms. So you find that, look, in monitoring of persons with dengue, we do something called a complete blood count, where we look at the white cell count, we look at the hemoglobin, the hematocrit concentration, and that platelet count. Generally, once we see that the platelet is trending upwards, meaning that it continues to now go back up, we see that the person generally does better there, and it is something that is closely monitored by physicians and our healthcare professionals in dengue virus. Mm-hmm. Yellow fever, though, on the other hand, mm-hmm. is something that it is also transmitted by mosquitoes as well too. Other species of the mosquitoes can transmit that one. It is more common in African and South American regions, and it's a virus, so there's no like antibiotics and things for these. They do share similar properties as well too. You find though that the word yellow fever, why it got the word yellow fever is that you find a lot of persons who get that sort of, may develop jaundice, that sort of yellowing of the skin and the eyes, and again can lead to bleeding, shock, and organ failure, and these things as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know as a doctor, you're not into too much of the home remedies, but I'm only mentioning this because I've seen it work myself, right? You can feel free to comment. There was a time my mom had dengue fever, and you know, like that's why I asked about the blood platelets. And we grated, yes. I was told to grate some, grind some pawpaw leaves, and the juice on the pawpaw leaves, and she drank it, and the blood platelets went up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So the thing is, look, yeah, you know, just yesterday, my brother and I, who is also a doctor, we were talking about this. Almost all the patients that we are seeing right now, they are talking about pawpaw leaf, doctor. Should I be drinking this? Is it a treatment? So the challenge that we have as doctors as well too, is we know that, look, this has been a very traditional remedy for managing dengue fever. And it's something that didn't start here in the Caribbean. Huh? It's actually in our East Asian populations. In India and East Asia, they traditional use these you know, what we call herbal kind of things as well too, and they make this pawpaw leaf tea that is made from the pawpaw plant, or known as the papaya plant, and many cultures propagate this as a natural treatment for dengue fever. You know, so we as doctors have to be guided by the evidence, and you know, there have been some clinical trials that try to investigate whether it is effective or not. But these are very inconclusive, because the thing is, how can you take a pawpaw leaf? My pawpaw tree is different from your pawpaw tree. Mine might be growing in a different soil, yours in a different soil, these things like that. But in that same conversation I was having with my brother, you know what we came to the conclusion as well? Look, at the end of the day, once you are drinking a herbal tea that isn't poisonous, it helps with your hydration, you know? So we had the discussion as amongst colleagues that, look, there is research to be done there. We cannot come out and say, look, yes, yeah, you take this as a treatment. But if you are drinking a green tea, for instance, and it's helping with your hydration, definitely that is part of the recommended treatment for dengue in terms of your hydration status, right? But for now, we're still looking at the evidence. We're hoping that more research is done into it. Generally, pawpaw tea leaf is considered safe for most people when you consume it in mild to moderate amounts. We don't recommend it as a treatment, but definitely if it helps you with staying hydrated, you do so.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how long after the mosquito bites you may you get a...
Representing the migrants, members of the press, the BBC, to access the island. And that story there brings us to the end of the news update on W17.1.
So a mosquito, once they are infected or they bit someone with dengue fever, they generally develop that transmissibility for the rest of their life, that these mosquitoes develop it. And generally, once a mosquito bites you, it takes about 2 to 7 days on average for you to develop symptoms of the dengue virus. So there's an incubation period that varies. This generally could be 4 to 10 days in some instances after being bitten by the mosquito that is infective, right?
Okay. Good information to know. All right, we take another break, folks, and we come back. Of course, we continue our topic about dengue fever. Be safe out there because it is out there as well. All right, remember, LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partners in hygiene solutions.
LSA Healthcare Services Limited is a commercial hygiene service provider with 20 plus years experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitizing dispensers, janitorial cleaning and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Healthcare at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions.
Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Questions coming in here, Doc, about, more dengue fever. Right, should someone in a household who has dengue fever be isolated?
Right, so that's a very good question. Isolated, thankfully, here does not mean that the person has to be isolated from humans. They should be isolated from mosquitoes, right? So what we do recommend for persons who have dengue and at home, or have symptoms of dengue rather and at home, is that they try to avoid being bitten by mosquitoes as well. So it is important that someone with dengue also try to protect themselves. Now, with fever, you may find that wearing clothes that are very thick and stuff like that, it may exacerbate that feeling of like being warm and stuff like that. But with dengue, we typically see persons feeling cold. So it actually works in your benefit when you do get those chills and that sort of feeling very cold, bone-breaking type of fever. You can wear some well-covered clothing. So in terms of isolation for persons with symptoms of dengue in a household, the isolation needs to happen from the mosquito, not from other human contact. So human-to-human contact with someone who is showing signs and symptoms of dengue is not a risk of infection there. Right?
All right. So how long is the mosquito's lifespan?
That's a good question, boy. Again, Samrella, how to put it?
Out-of-the-box question.
Mosquito insect. Yeah, mosquito. I really can't answer that right now, but I do know that, look, once a mosquito becomes infective for the rest of its life, it remains infective. So however long, maybe that's a question. I don't know if somebody could call in and answer, but once a mosquito is infected, let me see if I could go back to my primary school days. I know they have the egg stage where they lay the eggs, the larva, you know, and the adult stage. So good question though. But generally, we need to do our part as community members and clean up our surroundings. Look, there should be something that we'd be talking about only during dengue season or when dengue is around.
Right, true. All the time. I've been talking about this since before the dry season because I know the rainy season will be coming and we're having problems. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Sure. Yeah, good day.
Yes, sir.
We have a water problem at home, so we have containers filled with water along the house, like especially buckets. Will it help if we put Clorox in the water to avoid the breeding of these mosquitoes?
And then you're drinking the water, you're using the water for drinking purposes, you're putting Clorox in the water? I mean, I don't know.
I didn't get the question fully there, but...
No, he says he has, but they have a problem for water in the area, and a lot of people would have problems for water.
Right.
And then they're filling buckets, but he says, is it okay to put Clorox in the water? I mean, I know, but it's not for drinking.
That's beyond my skill set and understanding, but that's something they can contact the CMOH offices and the public health authorities. There would be guidelines on how to sanitize or prepare water properly for drinking. But for drinking, you know, generally it's chlorinated water that our public health and public utilities would use to deliver pipe-borne water.
Yeah.
So definitely for persons collecting water, though, in this time frame, they want to ensure, definitely check those tanks, ensure they're covered, because those are prime breeding grounds, for Aedes aegypti mosquito.
Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon. Yeah, hello.
Yeah, the call back is not for drinking. This water around the house is not for drinking. Of course, you wouldn't put it in drinking water. We have our water secured.
Oh, it's more like the wash.
Like washing wares and stuff like that.
Okay. So even more so, definitely, because this is now could be stagnant water that is a prime breeding ground for your mosquitoes. So that's why, you know, they would see that right now the public health regulation speaks about a fine if you have or collecting water and it's open. You know, it really can be a life-threatening behavior because, you know, you might, be collecting your water because of your reasons and whatnot, and that's important. But then it's a prime breeding ground for your for these mosquitoes that can go on and even affect your own loved ones and families with a life-threatening virus like dengue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and the mosquito, of course, breeds in clean water and dirty water. I mean, that Aedes aegypti, I forget.
Yeah, I think, look, as far as I remember, these things grow in once there's a collection of stagnant water. So you find generally once the water, like if a river is flowing, you won't find mosquito just breathing there. But if they are where water collects, so it could even be as simple as something in a dish, a bowl, a petri dish, and once these wrigglers could get in there, the larvae grows, and as far as I remember, they play the eggs and these things. I remember seeing as a child, they're wriggling around in the water, and you could see it. And once you empty that, you're basically getting rid of the potential for these things to become adult mosquitoes.
All right. This question was answered before, but somebody's still asking it. Where does the mosquito get the dengue virus from?
Right. So it is transmitted from human to the mosquito. So the mosquito bites an infected person. Right? So So that's how they themselves become carriers of this flavivirus, dengue virus.
And then somebody will ask, well, when you say that, you know, just for clarity, let's say there is some other virus out there, even a more serious virus. If the mosquito bites that person, can that be transmitted to another human being?
Right. So there are other viruses that can be transmitted by vectors. You know, a vector means is an animal or some form of material or medium by which the virus or the infective agent is transmitted. In terms of mosquitoes, you know, I know for sure the yellow fever is another one that it can transmit. But other viruses, you know, people might think of, let's say, HIV or other viruses. Can a mosquito just bite man and get any viruses? No, there are only specific viruses that mosquitoes can transmit. So we again, you know, Trainees have this kind of mentality, and we have a culture where, way boy, mosquito could spread dengue, mosquito could probably spread everything, you know, and we have this sort of attitude of sort of sensationalizing a lot of things, you know. So I want to clarify that it's not any virus that a mosquito can transmit, particularly the Aedes virus. Dengue and yellow fever, for sure, I know are some. Zika virus is another one that dengue. And these are from like the same family of viruses. Zika, chikungunya, dengue, yellow fever, and there are other rare causes, rare other diseases in other parts of the world, like in Japan and in Africa, that they will have, these mosquitoes can transmit other viruses.
Yeah. What about malaria? I know that's a different type of mosquito, but is it spread the same way?
Right. So malaria is another very severe disease that is not endemic to Trinidad and Tobago. You know, particularly for people who are traveling to areas that are where malaria is endemic, we do advise you to, you know, get your checks and get the recommended any pre-prophylaxis by your Ministry of Health officials at the CMOH offices. They can assist you at that. However, malaria, unlike dengue, which is a virus, this is more a parasitic disease. And malaria is, again, yes, transmitted by the mosquito, but unlike the Aedes aegypti mosquito, malaria is transmitted by the Anopheles mosquito. So again, that is usually in areas that it is endemic for malaria. And the malaria is what we call like a swinging sort of fever that people get. And it's a whole different topic that we can talk about there for malaria. But just to clarify to the public, malaria is not endemic. And it's something that there are areas in the world that are what we call endemic countries for malaria, and particularly persons who are traveling to and from these areas, it's important that they, you know, seek healthcare if they do develop symptoms after travel or during travel to these endemic areas.
All right, what about stagnant lakes? How do we prevent mosquito breeding?
That's a real good... yeah, so lakes... You see, and that's also like for rural communities, that it's a challenge that in these communities, you do have natural occurring areas that water collects. So the idea is to then protect your home or your space by using things like insect screens, sleeping with nets, wearing protected clothing. So while you may live in a community with these stagnant lakes, this is where you protect yourself, your home, and your family. The other way to tackle a problem like that, though, is where our public health department comes in, and they can use, through the insect vector control programs, different strategies and stuff like that, which they have been doing ever since. Yeah.
Yes, Doc, we have about 10 more minutes as we discuss, of course, dengue fever here So I get a bit distracted with some of these calls. So in terms of putting some things in the water, what are some things you recommend if you do find stagnant water? You know, you can't throw it away. But like the gentleman said, they want to put Clorox in the water. What are some other things you could probably put in the water to prevent the mosquitoes from breeding?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't want to speak on anything that is beyond my expertise, but this is where public health agencies, particularly like the insect vector control units and stuff like that, they are the ones who can have different substances and chemicals and things like that to prevent the growth. You know, I've been reading some articles where they use some real innovative ways to target these mosquitoes and at different stages and stuff like that, using different biologics and chemicals and stuff like that. But as a family doctor, it's beyond my scope to you know, speak on what we can add to water and things like that to make it or to destroy the mosquitoes. That would probably be someone who is in public health and in insect vector control may give some advice on that.
Yeah. And there's some things that, well, people like to do, you know, in the homes, things like the, you know, you have to be careful with the coccet and these things and even, you know, certain sprays and stuff. But there are some certain things that they like, if you are, like, let's say you suffer from allergies or you're diabetic, are there any things that you should be wary of, you know, that people use if in case you do have some issues with them?
Yeah, no, certainly. And the thing is, look, I know we come from a culture and where everybody kind of grew up with coccet and these things. One is a fire hazard. Two is also smoke that can trigger severe asthmatic attacks and these things like that. So you have these, you know, like what we would say, other options where you use things like insect repellent. So if you go to your pharmacies, they are approved, you know, insect repellents that you can purchase over the counter to use on your skin as well. There are also these devices that do I don't want to use any brands or anything like that, but they do eliminate mosquitoes, electrical devices that do eliminate the mosquitoes. Yeah.
Folks, once again, we're talking dengue fever, 625-2257, and feel free to WhatsApp us at 3061065. We all have to, you know, play our part and be very, very careful out there. Let's take our final break.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Yeah, folks, 5 minutes now away from 1 o'clock. We're talking, you know, dengue fever, Aedes aegypti mosquito and all that. Some more questions. Are there only one type of mosquitoes that carry the dengue virus? I believe so. The Aedes aegypti, the only one, right?
No, actually, there's another mosquito that causes it. There's the Aedes there's another strain that has been seen in Europe, and they know this as the tiger mosquito as well. I'll have to find out from my colleagues in veterinary and public health if that strain is here in Trinidad, but we know for sure that we have the Aedes aegypti, which is the main known and historically the mosquito that transmits dengue.
All right, somebody says the mosquito zappers are very effective. Yes, they can be. There's some of them don't last though. Some of them don't last a month, but they're effective.
I would say it's very therapeutic as well too.
It's very nice.
You know,
especially when they get the kids into it. Zap.
It's a lot of fun.
I know babies and infants, well, it's good to have the nets for them, right?
Correct, And, you know, it's a very worrying, and you have to think when families have newborns, you know, a lot of our patients, they have young children, newborns as well too. So it's very important, particularly during the day when our infants and our babies are sleeping, that we kind of ensure that they are covered and protected from mosquito bites. So whether it's by putting a net for them to sleep in their safe environment where we put them to sleep, or we actually wear clothing for them that will protect them from being bitten as well.
All right, so to wrap it up, Doc, I mean, let's just go over some of the things and, you know, prevention and what do people, you know?
Certainly. So, you know, wear clothes that cover as much of your body as possible. Sleep in mosquito nets if you're sleeping during the day. Particularly, you could spray the net with the mosquito repellents, you know, so even that as well too, they don't even come in near the net because, you know, sometimes your net could get a hole, it could sneak in through whichever side. For those who can, you know, you put in your window screens if you're living in areas, rural areas, particularly where it's very difficult to prevent all the breeding grounds. Use your mosquito repellents, and you could use things like your coils and vaporizer in your home to prevent the mosquitoes as well too. Of course, do our part by keeping our environment clean by reducing the mosquito breeding sites, all the egg laying sites where these mosquitoes can go, dispose of your waste properly. Make sure you don't have things around your house that could collect garbage, old junk, these things like that, particularly water storage containers as well. If you do have symptoms of dengue, it's important to rest, take a lot of hydration, drink a lot of plenty of liquids. There are a lot of juices and natural things going around. We had the Chow Challenge going in. That's to show you how much fruits and juices we can have here right here in Trinidad and Tobago. Remember to avoid taking any things like ibuprofen, aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Avoid getting any sort of iron intramuscular injections, and use acetaminophen, paracetamol for the pain that you are having. It's important to manage the pain, right? Again, if you have any severe symptoms to the listening public, do seek urgent health care. These severe symptoms include vomiting, severe abdominal pain, rapid breathing, any bleeding from anywhere. You just flat out can't get out of bed, any blood anywhere. Definitely, my friends, do go and get checked. Don't wait until you really have to call ambulance or anything like that. The earlier you can get assessed and treated, and particularly your hydration status, would be in your best interest. All right, so thank you again for the opportunity, Bas, and we look forward to these conversations.
All right, thank you very much. So you've been listening, of course, folks, to the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5. Remember, we all have to do our part so that this, you know, dengue fever doesn't become a serious epidemic. It's a very serious out there, but please do what you could do. Be socially responsible and do what you could do within your homes, within your homes. Tell your friends, talk to your friends and family, your neighbors. Say, hey, clean up your, check out yourself, you know. Mosquito coming over and biting me. All right, so we out, folks. Until tomorrow, do of your day. Lunchtime Doc.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.